Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the GNSO Review Working Group call on the 13th of July, 2017. On the call today, we have Wolf Ulrich Knobin, Rafiq Damak, Jen Wolf, Heath Dixon, Chris Seaburn. We have from staff, Marika Connings, Amr Elsider, Barry Cobb, and Julie Headland, and myself, Julie Bislin. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it over to Jen Wolf. Please begin.
Julie, this is Julie Headland. Did you mention Aubrey Doria also as a participant?
I did not. I didn't see her. Aubrey Doria as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. I hope you all had safe travels back from Johannesburg, those of you who were there, and have hopefully had a chance to recover. Appreciate your time today on the call. Today on our agenda, we'll, of course, review any updates to statements of interest. And then we want to take just a minute and talk about our timeline and sort of where we are in terms of our tracking and any changes that we might want to make to our timeline. And then we'll continue on with where we left up off a couple of weeks ago with our discussion on recommendations 10 and 11, and then move on to recommendation 13. So first, any updates to the statements of interest? Okay, seeing none, why don't we go ahead and move on. Julie, do you want to give us an update on where we are with our timeline, and then we could move into a discussion of how we think we're doing and any changes that we need to make?
Thank you, Jen. Yes, this is Julie Headland from staff, and I have pulled up a modified timeline, and thank you, Wolf Ulrich, for noting that this could be something helpful that we should maintain and periodically review. Just as a reminder, there was there were timelines in the implementation plan for Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3. These timelines, however, were noted as suggested timelines, understanding that once we got into the work, we might need to make some adjustments. We'll also note that when the timelines were created, we anticipated that perhaps we might be able to address several implementation plan charters simultaneously, but we found that we generally have a fairly small group on each call, and typically we've needed at least two calls to run through the charters, and sometimes more than that if we have, made revisions to the charters. And then once they've been approved, they go out for a consensus call, which also takes some time. So we are actually in a situation where we'll need to adjust the schedule in several cases. So I'm just going to just make this a little larger and as I go through it, looking at the if you look in the Adobe Connect room, starting with Phase 1, work already underway. We've noted that we have currently completed completed charters, and the implementation is approved and completed by consensus. Recommendations 14, 15, 16, 24, and 25. We had coupled recommendation 18 with recommendation 16, but we decoupled that and pushed 18 into Phase 2. We currently have drafted implementation plan charters for recommendations 30, 10 and 11, 13 and 19. We are continuing discussion on recommendations 10, 11 charter and 13 today. Those have been previously discussed, and staff has introduced new charters for recommendations 30 and 19, and staff notes that with those two charters, we will now have created charters for all of the recommendations in phase one, and that's the work that's already underway. And then if we move down to phase two, we'll note that when staff created the charters, recommendations 18, 31, and 33, and once those were reviewed, for various reasons, because of work that was ongoing that related to these items, the working group had decided to move these into phase two, and so we probably need to create a new schedule for them to recognize that they'll be completed as part of the phase two recommendations. And then we have grouped recommendations 26, 27, 28, and 29, that's a typo there, and recommendation 6. Those are together, and then recommendation 6 is separate. We have not taken those up yet. We haven't created charters for those yet. So any questions on the phase 1 and phase 2 timeline before we go to the phase 3 timeline? Go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Wolf Ulrich speaking. Thank you, Julie. Well, this is very helpful. The question why I raised that is also to make it transparent to ourselves, to see what could be done in order, if we are of the opinion that we should keep the deadline, so end of 2018 as the overall deadline, and also to have in mind what could be reported, you know, in terms of schedule towards the OEC. So I recall, I think we have to periodically to report to the OEC, maybe at the AGM in Abu Dhabi, could be. So that is helpful. So having said this, there is a question to me which I cannot see from this this chart. Is at what does that mean? You know, adjusting schedule. Do we have an idea already? You know what it means for in a worst case scenario. Let me say worst case. What that could mean here from the present day counted, how long that would take, or do you have an idea that we should just discuss about that? So I would rather think, well, it would be helpful if we could have something, an option, you know, to see where we stand with it. So what does it mean with regards to the overall schedule? And that may be helpful. So that's just a comment here. Thank you. So I appreciate very much this kind of charter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich. And I'll note that with respect to adjusting the schedule, so recommendations 30 and 19, if we have time to talk about both those charters today, we'll have a better sense of what the work might be for those two items. And once we know that, we can, I think recommendation 30 is likely to be 60 days still, so that would mean then that we would probably if we looked at it today, then we would extend 60 days from today. Recommendation 19, my sense is probably that's shorter than 90 days, but that would be something we could determine once we start talking about recommendation 19. Recommendations 10, 11, and 13 we'll discuss today, and I think it's possible that those might be ready soon to go out for consensus call, but of course that's up to the working group. So those may not really shift all that much. I mean, obviously they've shifted some already, by a couple of months just because we've started them later. We didn't start them and have charters ready rate on March 15th, but they may have a sort of a shorter time. So I think as we – perhaps what we can suggest is that as the working group takes up the charter and we have a sense of what the work entails and perhaps with some guidance from staff, we can – think about how long the implementation might take, and then staff can go ahead and enter new dates into this chart. Would that be a suitable way forward?
Yes, thank you. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to phase three, as you may know, we have not started any of these yet. These are the medium and low priority recommendations. We'll just note that several of them were set to be under consideration as of June 15th. Obviously, that deadline is passed. Again, I think that rather than perhaps arbitrarily putting in a start date for these, once the charter has been prepared and taken up by the working group, again, perhaps we can look at these and decide, you know, whether or not we think that they would take as long as you know, we've suggested here, or whether they might need less time and proceed accordingly. So, looking at the charters as we go, determining how much time we think they'll need, and then adjusting the timeline accordingly. Thank you. And Jen, I don't see any other hands up.
I feel like this is sort of what we anticipated, which is why we asked for such an additional amount of time. You know, that we knew these things were going to take time. I guess I would comment. I would like to see us try to move maybe a little faster through some of the recommendations that are already underway, because I know as we move into some of the next phase, it's going to take, that's where we really wanted to have more time. So, you know, as we continue on, I guess I would just, you know, encourage everyone who is participating to, you know, let's try to expedite this process so we can stay on track. Okay.
Thank you very much. If there's no other comments,
then why don't we move on to recommendation 10 and 11. Do you want to pick us up on where we left off?
Yes.
And I think you were going to give an update, too, on the geographic names.
Yes. Thank you very much. And so this recommendation, just as a reminder, talks about having the criteria for a professional facilitator moderator. And we note that the face-to-face PDP working group pilot project has been completed, and there was an assessment of that in a survey. But we talked last time about whether there needed to be criteria, that each situation, each working group is different, and staff mentioned that there were going to be moderated sessions. There were two actually on the geographic names issue, relating to the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group policy development process. And so we did have those two sessions. I think staff had suggested that maybe we could do some kind of survey, or maybe we could just solicit input from, say, the PDP working group chairs as far as how they think the sessions went. Staff, with the PDP chairs, have talked a little bit about how the sessions went. They were quite well attended. There was quite a bit of discussion. Much of it was very constructive, I think, particularly in the latter part of the longer of the two sessions, which was on the Thursday. And not to put her on the spot, but I see that Aubrey Doria is on the call, but is muted. I don't know, Aubrey, if there's anything that you would like to say about how you think the sessions went in ICANN 59. But I'm just also looking at that there's a comment in the chat. I see from Chris Seaburn, just for the record, when will other changes or talks that happened at the GAC affect us? Would that not affect all charters? I'm not sure I understand the question, Chris. I'm not sure what changes or talks at the GAC would necessarily affect the charters. I see Chris is talking or typing, pardon me. And I don't know that Avria is necessarily in a position to speak. I see Avria does have her hand up. Go ahead, Avria, and I'll see what Chris has to say also with respect to that question.
If this is Avria speaking, assuming I can be heard. I think
we're still very faintly. Can we make you louder?
Probably. Hold on a second, it's taking me a while. Is that better?
That's much better, thank you.
Okay, sorry, it took me a bit. So as I was saying, that was a lot of work to say that it was a good experience in terms of a particular discussion. We haven't had our final debrief with the facilitators. It certainly helped bring the discussion out to open it up. Whether in the short term that we used it helps us find the consensus or not, I don't know. But at this point, I'd say initially that it was a good experience. It was useful in terms of the kind of discussion we were doing when we had to cross all of the SOAC lines, basically, and try and include the whole community, but it still needs more evaluation. So I'd say it was okay, it was good, but it really needs more of the post-event analysis. Sorry that that's not a lot, but that's about what I've got. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avria, and again, sorry for putting you on the spot there, but that's very helpful, and I agree that, you know, we can, as we continue to have more evaluation, we can bring that, you know, whatever that we think we can bring back to this working group, if that's helpful. And Wolfroyk, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was always speaking, thank you. Well, I cannot judge on the what might happen, you know, and I'm not so deeply involved in this group, but I was attending, you know, the two meetings, and I really agree, you know, it was a professionally moderated session, and the intention and also the process they had in mind, I think it was good, you know, to restart the discussion, you know, from a point where it was deadlocked, yeah, and open it to the wider audience or to the different proponents of the different views. I think in this way it was helpful. Well, it is really up to now the question. So what's coming after that? So and can this impetus be continued? Yeah, in order to have a constructed dialogue. So if there are deliberations about that, how to continue that would be really helpful. That was my impression. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. And I see that Chris has put more things into the chat. And Chris also has his hand up. Maybe that would be easier. Go ahead, Chris.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now, my question was the last day at ICANN 59, the afternoon before the closure, there were a few things that was actually discussed, and it seems that a few of the groups may disappear. One of them seems to be the CCNSO and everything, which is going to be changing to TLD, which I understand. That would probably be falling under the GNSO. That's why I was asking whether that would not be affecting the initial charter we have right now.
So, Chris, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. Staff can certainly look into your question. I was at ICANN 59. Others perhaps can also help out here. But I staff at least are not aware of anything relating to the disappearance of the CCNSO. I'm not sure what that's related.
There's a minutes that came out from the GAC officially. I'm not sure, but I saw it today, and it does mention there that, for example, CCTLEs would disappear, so would the CCNSO, and it might be called TLE. And the overall idea seems to be that they might be porting it under the GNSO. So it might be something you guys may want to look back at that briefing on the last day of the GAC.
So you're speaking about the GAC communique. Okay. Well, I will note that if there's something relating to the CCNSO, that shouldn't have any bearing on these charters. In addition, keeping in mind that even if there were changes relating to, say, CCTLDs becoming GTLDs, these charters are based on an already completed review of the GNSO and then the resulting recommendations from that review. So, you know, and as we know, some of that work has already been underway. Some of this is new work. Of course, if there are anticipated changes or improvements to the GNSO that this working group decides may affect the charters, the charters can be adjusted accordingly. Mm-hmm. So thanks for bringing that up. And actually, staff, we can go and try to find that GAC communique, too, if people are interested. Rafiq, I see, says, I think Chris is talking about geographic names. I think, indeed, Chris, I think the part of the GAC recommendation that relates to geographic names that may indeed be what you're referencing. So where we stand with recommendation 1011 is that I think we're still, Jen and Wolf Ulrich, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we still want to see if there was some additional, post-analysis, post-meeting analysis that might be helpful as to the utility of having the facilitator. And I know that, as Avery mentioned, there still does need to be, more information gathered with respect to the results, the sort of post-mortem, shall we say. So perhaps staff can hold this one and then come back with additional information when it's ready.
Mm-hmm. Because the way I was assessing it, it looked like because they're having so much problems with the CGTLDs, it seemed to be the easiest way is to bring it up to the GNSO and make it three-letter words using ISO. So it looks like, from my guess, it's going to land under the GNSO directly, but with a different way. So if we're talking the geographic names, which is going to be like, we're moving, the governments are moving away from the two-letter words, so they're probably looking at three, as ISO does. So that would definitely have an effect on us. That's why I was a bit concerned when I was looking. Well, some of these charters look fine. I don't see any issues, but I'm thinking if it moves to the GNSO, the way we look at certain things would be different. Because if we're talking about geographic names, we're talking about countries, and the countries' way of evaluation and how we do it with the normal way with names may be slightly different.
Yeah, so thank you,
Chris. That would be the challenge.
If I could suggest that perhaps this is actually related, it seems, to the work of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group. I don't know if you're involved with that group, but that certainly
a
discussion there. But it isn't necessarily related to this charter that we've been discussing here. So Jen, if it's okay with you, I'd like to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yes, absolutely. And just I, Chris, I'm not sure if you've been on any of our calls previously, but this is about the implementation of the independent review that's already been conducted, not necessarily the substance of any of the other policies. So this is really more about how are we making improvements to process and procedure of the GNSO, not necessarily some of the in the weeds issues. And I think the reason we were talking about that particular issue was just in terms of using a professional facilitator.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
So in the interest of time and moving us forward, Julie, please go ahead and take us forward.
Thank you very much, Jen. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. So we also have talked about recommendation 13, and that is, and this was on our last call on June 22nd, that the council evaluate and, if appropriate, pilot a technology solution to facilitate wider participation in working group consensus-based decision making. And staff had researched the tools that are currently being used, namely Microsoft Word and also Google Drive products, had done a quick analysis of the type of capabilities that it's useful for these tools to have, and a comparison between the Google Docs and Microsoft Word for creating documents, and then sort of the cost comparison as well. And then the question arose at the last meeting as to whether or not there would be any collaboration tools as a result of the new information transparency initiative. And actually, the question was not even necessarily to that specific initiative, but just in ICANN's plans for document management, whether or not it was anticipated that ICANN would be piloting any sort of collaborative documentation tools. So staff had looked into what this initiative is. This was announced in March of 2017. It's the Information Technology Initiative. It was announced in a blog and as part of the executive team report that was delivered to the ICANN Board of Directors in March 2017. And it is specifically that said that the proposed solution for document and content management and replacement of the existing ICANN.org website was presented to the executives who have provided internal approval for the project. So staff has reviewed some of the sort of internal guidance with respect to the project. There hasn't been much more that's been published on this particular initiative, as it is fairly new. But it's with respect to the community, the goal is to facilitate access to content. Part of this initiative recognizes the difficulty in the community finding content, say on ICANN.org, and finding documents. I think we've all been in this situation, and so the project is aimed at sort of organizing how providing a sort of method of organizing documents and making them more accessible, to the content more accessible to the community. It's not focused on creating collaborative tools, so it's not focused on creating a document collaboration tool. It's more making it easier to, making it sort of streamlining how documents are produced, making them easier to find and access and searchable. So we still would have it wouldn't affect, say, for instance, the community using the collaborative tools that they're already using. That is, say, Microsoft Word or Google Docs. So in that respect, I think we're at the point now, perhaps, that this working group can decide whether or not the current, information laid out here, that we do have tools that working groups are currently using. They're currently using Word. They're currently, several groups now are using Google Documents, Google Drive documents, and quite successfully. I know in particular the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group are using Google Docs and Google Drive documents quite extensively for draft documents, and it seems to be working well. So I guess the question would be whether or not the current tools are sufficient, or whether further work needs to be done in this area. So the question is then whether or not the recommendation has been met, or whether or not there should be further research into alternative tools or further evaluation. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Any comments or questions? Okay, see none? No questions or comments? So, Julie, what are your thoughts then, if seeing no comments, in terms of moving forward?
Yes, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. So I would suggest, staff would suggest that we could go ahead and change the wording here under the working group determination to indicate that, the working group has done the review analysis of the current tools that are under use, and has found that these are accessible and are facilitating collaboration, that no further work needs to be done on this recommendation at this time, and staff could then put this out for a 2-week consensus call.
Okay. If there's no objection, I think that we should move forward accordingly.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And staff will take that action.
Great. So then let's go ahead and move on to recommendation 13.
That was just recommendation 13.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to recommendation 19.
Very good. Thank you. All right, so this is Julie Hedlund's staff again, and this is a new charter that staff has drafted on recommendation 19, which relates to working group performance. Specifically, the recommendation states that as strategic manager rather than a policy body, the GNSO Council should continue to focus on ensuring that a working group has been properly constituted, has thoroughly fulfilled the terms of its charter, and has followed due process. So let me just then go into the scope description. So staff will provide applicable guidance from the current working group guidelines as directed by the working group, and as directed by the working group, develop a suggested procedure for periodic review of working group constitution, membership, and activity. The working group will determine whether this procedure will require changes to the GNSO operating procedures, and if so, direct staff to complete a revision for public comment and approval by the GNSO Council. The GNSO Review Working Group will determine whether or not this recommendation has been implemented or whether further steps need to be taken to meet the intent of the recommendation. Assumptions are that applicable guidance exists in the Working Group Guidelines concerning procedures for reviewing working group constitution, membership, and activity. And deliverables would be further guidance if the working group deems that it is required, this working group, I should say. Excuse me. So moving along then to the analysis that staff has performed. So the current working group guidelines include Section 7.0, the working group self-assessment. A working group self-assessment instrument has been developed as a means for chartering organizations to formally request feedback from a working group as part of its closure process. Working group members are asked a series of questions about the team's input processes, e.g. norms, decision-making, logistics, and outputs, as well as other relevant dimensions and participant experiences. Screenshots of the questionnaire have been assembled into a PDF. There's a link that's included in the guidelines so that working group participants can review in advance how it is designed and what specific information will be solicited. During the working group's closure process, coordinating with the chair, staff will provide a unique link to the online questionnaire along with open and close dates and any specific instructions. Staff will then perform the following actions: monitor the online process, providing status updates to the working group chair, provide technical assistance to working group members if requested, notify the chair when all team members have completed the questionnaire, and following the close date, summarize the feedback in a written report to the charting organization. So these are the current guidelines in the working group guidelines for self-assessment. So there is already a mechanism in place for the working group to assess its performance. In addition to this, and this was noted actually by the GNSO Review Working Party with respect to this recommendation when it made its assessment, the GNSO Council, as the manager of policy development processes, oversees this ongoing effort. Updates of each PDP are given to the GNSO Council during each ICAM meeting. A post-PDP working group self-assessment is undertaken and the results are forwarded to the Council. So as the working party noted, not only do we have this self-assessment to determine the performance of the working group, there also are updates on the working group's performance that are periodically provided to the council, and then there the post PDP working group self-assessment, and those results are also forwarded to the council. So with respect to going back to the recommendation, it appears at least to staff that that there is a mechanism for the council to ensure that a working group has been properly constituted, thoroughly fulfilled the terms of its charter, and has followed due process. There are currently, then with respect to the scope, there are currently guidelines for assessment. And I see that, thank you, Amr. Amr has put the working group self-assessment into the link into the chat. There is an assessment, and currently this assessment process is part of the GNSO operating procedures. I guess one thing that staff could do to assist with this as well is go ahead and present to the we didn't actually print it out here, but present to this working group the actual self-assessment so that this working group can see what that comprises. I'm wondering if I can very quickly try to see if I can pull that up for us to look at here. Let me just see if that's something I can do quickly. I didn't want to take a lot of time setting up a document, but let's see. This actually, I'm looking at this. Okay. Questionnaire is what we want. Okay. And this is the questionnaire. But I see that it's going to be difficult for me to actually bring this up. But you're welcome, since Amr has put the link in the chat, then, and yes, and I also to the questionnaire, I would recommend that you could bring it up as well. But there's just a number of things in the questionnaire is fairly, just looking at it is, fairly lengthy. So yeah, I would suggest that that folks would take a look at it. Just looking at some of the questions. Okay, there's a section that relates to the charter, mission, team members, tools, and resources. So that's section one. So there's questions concerning the charter and mission of the working group, the expertise, the representativeness. External human resources provided, technical resources, and administrative resources. Section two includes processes such as norms, operations, logistics, and decision making. Section three concerns products and outputs, again relating to the working group's primary mission and the quality of the outputs. Section 4 addresses personal dimensions such as engagement, fulfillment, and willingness to serve. And then there is a section on demographics. And I think that is, yes, that's the last section. So it would appear that the questionnaire is quite comprehensive and does focus on the terms of the charter with respect to the working group and whether or not it's followed its processes and, you know, and also the membership, the composition, et cetera. Now, I noticed Pascal has a question. Pascal Becano, notify the chair when all team members have completed the questionnaire. What can happen if one member do not fill the questionnaire? Pascal, I think what generally happens is that staff follows up with that individual until that questionnaire is completed. So there was like a separate communication where staff can follow up and make sure that everybody has, you know, if possible, I suppose if someone was ill or, you know, there were, you know, other reasons, you know, they're no longer accessible, that, you know, if there was a legitimate reason somebody couldn't complete it, that, you know, then maybe, I don't think that, you know, that is a gating factor. I think that, you know, if it's possible, we would get that feedback. If not, we would still proceed with the final assessment. And I see Amar is typing. So just while...
Maybe we should just open it up to see, because, I don't know, in my opinion, it seems like this is already being done and is covered. But I'd be interested to know if anybody else has concerns or think any other clarification is needed on this one.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's go ahead and do that.
I know Amar is typing, but anyone else have any comments? Anyone think more needs to be done? Wolf Ulrich, please go ahead.
Thanks, yes. This is Wolf Ulrich speaking. Well, the only question I do have is looking at the tools we have at the time being, which are comprehensive to my mind, is the question, these are tools who may be used. So that's what I understand. It's on a voluntary voluntary basis, so for the working group, it's not an obligation to the working group, as I understand that. So my question here is that enough, you know, with regards to the recommendation itself, you know, which point out that the GNSO should continue to focus on ensuring that the working group has been properly constituted. So is my understanding correct, on the one hand, that this is a voluntary work to be done. On the other hand, while there could be a request or a more specific wish from the GNSO well to fix it as an obligation. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Any comments to WolfWorks notation? So you think that perhaps this should be broader to fix it as opposed to just assess whether or not
I'm not sure. You know, I think it's enough. You know, because it seems to me that it may be up to the leadership of the working group on the, and depending on the issue, whether a self-assessment is requested or not. That seems to me enough. I'm wondering whether that was the intention of the accommodation itself, or whether the intention originally was, just do it as each working group should perform this kind of self-assessment, and that's it. Thank you. Julie has some comment, maybe.
Oh, Julie, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. My sense from looking back at, let me look at the implementation plan again, just to remind ourselves. I won't try to bring it up on the screen. That would be a little time consuming, but I'm just going to try to quickly pull up this this particular item, because there's some just to see if there are any more notes in there. I know Amr was part of the working party. So Amr, I don't know if there's something that you want to add, but it seemed that the recommendation aligns with the current process. It was noted that, you know, that there is already, you know, guidance in the working group guidelines. I mean, this is something that was raised while the working party was making its assessment. I do know, yes, that it says should continue to focus on ensuring the working group has been properly constituted. I think that some of the other items that Amr has brought up here, just to note them in the chat. I'm not going to read through all of them, but there's guidance elsewhere in the working group guidelines that covers this. For instance, representativeness is covered in section 3.2 that addresses issues such as diversity and representation in the community. Section 2.2.1 talks about participation and representational balance. It should be noted that while the self-assessment is part of the procedures that do now have to be done by working groups. So it's while not all working group members may. Certainly active members typically do complete the questionnaire. All active working group members are strongly encouraged to do that. The process is definitely followed for the working groups as they finish their work. And then we do have the periodic assessment of working groups via the, working group liaisons to the council where any issues with working groups can be raised, to the council along with the updates that are provided. So staff sense is that that this recommendation aligns with what is already a current procedure that's being followed. But again, Janet, there's others. I don't know if that addresses your comment, Wolf Ulrich, and if others have comments as well.
Amr, I see your hand's up, and I know you've noted quite a bit in the chat. Do you want to provide more clarity there? Amr, are you speaking?
His line dropped. We're getting him back. One moment.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Now we just dropped that in. Any other comments while we're waiting on Amr to come back? just hold on for a moment here. Amr, are you there?
Hi, Jen. Yeah, this is Amr. I'm back on. And thank you, and thank you to Julie. And just to add to what she said, I just wanted to note that the GNSO Working Group guidelines, as I put in the chat, do address the issue of representativeness in GNSO working groups, and this is one of the tasks of a working group chair to sort of make sure that proper representation is available. And this also extends to sub-teams on working groups to the extent possible, noting that there may not be as much interest in work of some of the sub-teams. But again, a GNSO working group chair is meant to the extent possible, ensure that there is proper representation of the different stakeholder groups of the chartering organization to being included in those sub-teams. I will also note that the PDP manual addresses the same issue in terms of implementation review teams. So implementation review teams that do follow up on adopted recommendations from the GNSO, recommendations that have been adopted by the ICANN board, are also meant to be representative. And in cases where one IRT is managing recommendations for more than one GNSO PDP working group, then again, it is meant to ensure that there are proper representatives from the different stakeholder groups and constituencies of the GNSO when this IRT is being constituted. And if I am not mistaken, I believe there are also provisions in the PDP manual and in the bylaws that both the GNSO Council and the ICANN board take into consideration the membership of the GNSO working groups and making sure that all the different groups were present when they are considering these recommendations. But I haven't actually dug those up. I'll try to find them. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. Any further comments? I see we're almost up to the top of the hour. Any further comments? I think then, Julie, go ahead.
I was just noting then that that staff could go ahead and add some of these other references that Amr has suggested, so that it's clear that there is additional guidance here, and then I guess maybe with those additions, staff could put the question to the working group as to whether or not this implementation is considered to be complete, and if there aren't any objections, then maybe we could just make those changes and add those references, give a week or so for review, and then if there's no objections, we could proceed to put it out for a consensus call.
I think that would be the most effective way to go forward. Yes, that way when we pick up on our next call, we can move forward.
Okay.
Unless there were comments, obviously. But.
Right, of course. Well, then staff will go ahead and make those changes, and we'll get that out. And then perhaps now that we're short on time, we could start out the next call with the Charter for Recommendation 30.
Yes, absolutely. We are right at the top of the hour, so I think we can plan on our next call on July 27th to pick up with Recommendation 30, and then we can map out a couple of other recommendations to try to move on to during that call. Any other comments or questions before we close out this particular call? Okay, seeing none, thanks everyone for participating and taking your valuable time to join the call today. This will bring the call to a close, and we'll look forward to talking in 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Thanks, all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Today's meeting is adjourned. Verizon operator, could you please stop the recording and